Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Lord, we thank you for these words. Thank you that your word is a living word that speaks into our hearts today. And we pray we will be open to whatever you want to say to us through it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, don't know about you, but I'm finding the book of Ephesians really challenging. It's been really good for me as a pastor, as a preacher, to go through a whole book and not actually miss any of it out. There's some bits coming up in what I like to miss out. Anyway, I'm having to make sense of all of this and see how it all fits together. But it's meaning that I can't pick and choose the easy bits. And I think often with the Bible, we just kind of go back to the same old nice comforting verses, don't we? And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But actually, it's good to wrestle with some of the more challenging bits, to chew things over, maybe do some research, pray, have a cup of tea, talk to people, and ask ourselves, what is God saying? What's God saying to all of us today through this passage? I've actually brought along today a back. If you're really struggling and don't know where to start with reading the Bible, I've just brought along a few sort of different Bible reading notes, books which have devotionals in them for every day. And I just encourage you, if you're kind of a bit stuck and you don't know where you're going with your daily delving into scripture, just take one of those. They're all there for free. Just take something and hopefully God will begin to speak to you day by day as you delve into his word. There's also some apps. If you're more of an app person, there's some great apps that you can use to help you read the Bible. But the bit that we're looking at today is all about living as children of light. I'll just grab this back. Thanks, Corey. So this section is all about living as children of light. And there is some quite tricky stuff in it, quite tricky to understand, and then also very challenging to live out. But the first step here in verse 8 is all about knowing the true identity, knowing who you are. So Paul writes to the Ephesians, he writes, "You once were darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You probably don't remember because it's quite a long time ago, but when we were back in chapter 2, there was quite a lot of this, "You once were, but now you are." Ephesians has got this a few times. Once you were, but now you are. You've had a change of identity. You need to remember what you were like before and see how far you've come. See who you are now. So in chapter 2 we had, once you were dead, but now you are alive in Christ. Once you were strangers, but now you are part of the people of God. Once you were far off, but now you have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And now in chapter 5 verse 8, this is quite strong actually, isn't it? Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Basically, the people he's writing to, they'd all been part of the Greek and the Roman culture around them. And now they've become followers of Jesus. They've come out of that world. And this new identity as followers of Jesus is the foundation of everything. Paul is saying, once you were darkness, but now you are light. And then he says, live like it. Live as children of light. Now you know who you are. You belong to God. You're followers of Jesus. Live out of your true identity. Now, I've got a lot of different facets to my identity, who I am, and they determine how I behave. So one of those things is that I'm a minister, and that determines a lot of what I do, how I behave. And because I'm a minister, there's certain things that I do and certain things that I don't do. And you might expect me to spend my time praying, studying the Bible, preaching, leading worship, pastoral care, lots of other things. And then there's certain things I don't do. I think you might question whether I really was a minister if I was spending my time beating people up or dealing drugs or getting drunk every night. In fact, I very quickly probably be sacked, wouldn't I? So it determines, my identity determines my behaviour. Similarly, I'm a mum. And that determines a lot of what I do and how I behave. And there's certain things I do and certain things I don't do. It determines how I spend my money. It determines my priorities. It determines how I live. And I think if you're a parent, you sort of have to be prepared to live like one. I remember the first time that after becoming parents, John and I went on holiday. I don't know if anybody's had this experience. You're used to holidays being a thing where you get nice long lines in the morning and you get leisurely meals together and you just get to do whatever you want to do. And then a holiday becomes just the same as being at home except in a different place. But that's what it is to be a parent. You have to live according to that identity that you've taken on. And it determines how you behave. But even if I lost every other part of my identity, for me, the one that would remain would be this one, a child of God, made in his image, a follower of Jesus. And that identity should be the foundation for everything, on which everything else rests, on which everything else is built. So Paul is saying to the people reading this, who've become followers of Jesus, you've got a new identity. You've come from the darkness to the light. And it wasn't something that you've earned, it was something God has given you. So now, live like it. Live like it. Live as children of the light. I wonder, are we living according to our identity as followers of Jesus, as children of the light? Would people know the difference if they looked at our lives? And Jesus, of course, we looked at these verses earlier. And Jesus uses the same imagery of darkness and light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We should stick out. We should stick out. We should be different. So what does it mean to live as children of light? And Paul actually gives us some clues to what it means to live as children of light. And he says this in verse 9. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then he says, find out what pleases the Lord. So notice that this isn't just about keeping a list of rules. It's not just like a negative list of don't do this, don't do that, don't sleep around, don't take drugs, don't swear, don't kill people. It's not saying that. It's not talking about what we can get away with. Living as children of light is something active and purposeful. Find out what pleases the Lord and do it. Find out what pleases the Lord. I actually find that really exciting. It's a positive way of living. And I just think that is a great prayer to pray. What pleases the Lord? So praying every morning, God, what pleases you? What pleases you? What would please you today? Show me what choices I could make today that would bless your heart, that would glorify your name. God, I'm in a really tough situation at work. Or I'm in a really hard relationship with someone, somebody that really bugs me. How could I behave in a way that pleases you? What would please you, God? What would please you, God? And we could say that, we could pray that prayer every morning. We could pray that prayer before we go to a meeting. We could pray that prayer before picking up the phone to phone somebody. God, what would please you in this situation? What would please you? So that's one way to find out what pleases God. Pray and ask him to show you. Another way we can find out what pleases God is what I was talking about earlier, getting immersed in the scriptures. Getting immersed in the scriptures. And a really good place to start is Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Just read those a few times, just those three chapters. Jesus is telling us, straight from the horse's mouth, what pleases God. It's challenging, it's really hard stuff. But this is what pleases God. This is a way of life that pleases God. This is what he's describing there. So immersing ourselves in the scriptures. And then another way we can find out what pleases God is by being part of a community of faith. Being in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with other Christians. And what we do here on a Sunday, it shouldn't just be about for this hour and a half together. It should affect our whole week as living as children of light. And if what we do here on a Sunday isn't helping you do that, then there's something wrong. So come talk to me and we'll try and make it better. You know, but being part of a community of faith should be helping us to find out what pleases God so we can live as children of light in the world. And our midweek groups really help us to do that. So if you're not part of one of our three midweek groups, they're just a lovely place to be. And we can help one another there, we can encourage one another, we can talk together and discern together what pleases the Lord. So together, in loving Christian community, we find out what pleases the Lord so we can live as children of light. And in those brackets there, Paul gives a massive clue about what it means to live as children of light. When he talks about the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We can choose where we put our money, our time, our energy, and our attention. Our attention is really important. There's a war going on for our attention in this culture. And we can choose where we put our attention. So we can put our attention on rubbish, or we can put it on things that produce good and righteousness and truth. And this can be a filter for us, or like a benchmark for our decisions. Is this something that produces good and righteousness and truth? Yes, we'll go for it. If not, well, maybe we need to think again about why we're doing that or why we're paying our attention to that. The next few verses are quite hard to understand because there seems like a bit of a contradiction in them. So verse 11, Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. But then he says in verse 12, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So that seems to be a bit of a paradox, because it's like, well, how can we expose the deeds of darkness if we aren't even supposed to mention them? And the other thing is, how are we supposed to expose the deeds of darkness without becoming proud and hypocritical and judgmental? So I would suggest that we start with ourselves, that we always start with ourselves. Paul says, it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. We all know our own hearts and our own minds and our own lives and what goes on in our own heads. We all know what happens in secret. And I firmly believe that Christian confession is such an important discipline. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic thing of going to the priest here, but confession to God, confessing our sins to God. But also, there is a place for confession to one another, finding a close Christian friend, being prepared to open up and just reveal our own sin to the light, even things which we're ashamed and embarrassed of. I can actually think myself of a couple of times in my life where there was something going on, a bad habit, something I was doing in secret that was deeply unhelpful, certainly not pleasing to God. And I knew it, really. And I felt ashamed and I felt embarrassed about it. But as long as it stayed secret, it's easier to justify it. It's easier to pretend it's not really a problem. It's easier to make excuses about it and not do anything about it. But for me, I can't emphasize this strongly enough, really, the single most important factor in being able to turn away from that sin and change and leave it behind was telling someone about it. And it was very important to choose the right person, to choose a trusted person, a wise, sensitive person. And of course it made me a bit anxious. What they're going to think of me? Are they going to judge me? Are they going to laugh at me? But actually, my fears weren't realised and they just were very, very helpful and were able to pray with me. And I can honestly say that exposure to the light was a massive turning point. And when I could get things out in the open, it caused a huge shift and I could actually turn my back on the things I wanted to get rid of, the things I wanted to change in my life. If we let the light in, the good news is that Jesus is there. Jesus is waiting to heal and make us new and transform us. Verse 13 there says, everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And actually, I found that those times in my life where God has made that change, he's then graciously helped me to use those to help others as well. And I see that as perhaps what Paul means by everything that is illuminated becomes a light. But it always starts with us. It always starts with us. Now that's not to say that God doesn't want us ever to speak up publicly against evil and injustice and darkness that we see around us. God called the Old Testament prophets to do exactly that. And we're also called to do that. We're called to speak the truth. We're called to speak up and bear prophetic witness, and speak up for justice, and to speak up for what is right. But if you remember in chapter 4, it talked about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. And we're always called to do that from our love, not from hatred, not from pride, not from putting ourselves on the judgment throne, but from a posture of humility and weakness. And a lot of the time, the way in which we expose the fruitless deeds of darkness is simply by living lives of light ourselves. It talks about let your light shine before everyone that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The American pastor John Mark Comer talks about living a life that begs the question. Living a life that begs the question. What he means is a life that makes people wonder, why on earth are they doing that? Why don't they join in with that? Why do they spend their time on that, their money on that? Why are they living differently? It makes people ask questions. It makes people wonder. Living a life that begs the question. Living a life that is a light to others. And then we're also called to help and correct one another. So this word expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. It's the same word that Jesus uses here in Matthew 18 verse 15. If your brother and sister or sister sins, go and point out their fault. So that word point out in the original Greek, point out there, it's the same as that word expose in the Ephesians passage. So we're to correct and help one another. So we always start with ourselves, but then we are to correct and help one another, again from a posture of love. Yeah, Matthew tells us, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We do have to be careful with this, because if you look at the Gospels as a whole, Jesus reserves some of his harshest and most challenging words, not for adulterers or prostitutes or sinners, but hypocrites. But he does want us to help and correct one another. So we live as children of light. When you're used to being in the dark, letting the light into a dark room can be painful, can't it? It can hurt our eyes. And it shows things up. It shows up all the dust and the cobwebs and all the things that we hoped nobody would ever see. But Jesus wants to shine on us. So this verse 14 here, this is probably, they reckon, a fragment from an early Christian hymn that they would have been singing together. And what we notice about this hymn is it's not addressed to God. They're singing it to one another. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Or maybe we're singing it to ourselves, to our own souls. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? Christ will shine on you. So become who you are. Live into your identity. Live as children of light. Find out what pleases the Lord through prayer. Immerse yourselves in scripture and through loving Christian community. And finally, bring the darkness out into the light, because only then can God bring his healing and resurrection power to life in us. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that new identity that you've given us through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Christ. That new identity that we have as resurrection people, as children of light, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, as Christians. Lord, we now pray that you will help us to live into that identity, that we can live as children of light, that we can be lights in the darkness around us, so that as we walk around in this world, wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, that we can be those who shine, that we can be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, that we can live lives which beg the question. Lord, we pray that you'll help us, and particularly if there are any habits that we need to break, anything that is hurting us, that is damaging us, that needs to be brought out into the light and exposed. Lord, I pray that you will give us the courage to do that. And I pray that your Spirit will help us. And so, Lord, I pray that we may live as children of light, and that Christ will shine on each of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.